Well, we're beginning a new series today called I Have Needs. I Have Needs. And I wanted to talk for a moment and see what we feel like our needs are versus some of our wants. Okay? So by way of yelling or clapping or whatever you want to do when I call something out, we'll decide. Water? Is it a need? Is it a need or a want? It's a need. It's a need. That's an easy one. Sorry. Sweet tea. Is it a need?
Yes.
It's a need. Somebody feel like sweet tea is a need? Okay. Diet Coke. Is that anybody? No. How about this one? Diet Mountain Dew. Is it a need? Yeah, I didn't think there were many of you out there. Jesus still loves you. How about air conditioning? Is it a need? Is it a want? What about a heating pad? I have any fans of heating pads in here? No? Does anyone have like the mattress topper that is a complete heating pad? Like your bed is a heating pad? Two side control? Socks? Is that a need? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder in my generation, you know, a need or a want. It's a want today, John, right? It's flip-flop day, man. Sun's out, toes out, right? And an extra pillow. Is it a need or a want? Do I have any single pillow sleepers in here? One pillow is enough for me. Okay. What about two? You have to have two. I need two, whether it's under my head or I'm cuddling it. I need two pillows. Yeah, I prefer two pillows. But I, you know, when we're talking about our human needs, sometimes it's hard to differentiate what our needs are versus what we want. Because for most all of us in here, we would never consider buying a home that doesn't have air conditioning of some form, some fashion of air conditioning. Because for us, we feel like it's a need. That's just where we live. People say first world problems. Well, the truth is we live in the first world, so some of these things are a problem for us. And it's what we know. But if we really look at it, we can survive without air conditioning. Some people are like, no, I still don't believe you. It's not true. Can't happen. You know, and as we start diving in just a moment talking about our needs, I want to talk about our wants for just a moment. Because even though we have a difficulty sometimes differentiating what we need and what we want, the wonderful thing about the God that we serve, who is called our Father, our good Father, our Shepherd. And I know that sometimes that image of God as a father gets real messed up for some people that didn't have a good father figure in their life. And so it's kind of difficult to merge those two worlds because you're like, well, my father just wasn't good to me. My father wasn't there for me. But God is called our good Father. So the apex model of what a father should be, because it even tells us in the Bible that fathers, that parents discipline their children as we see best, but we're still imperfect, that we don't get it right all the time. Don't tell the kids that we said that. That's why we put them in children's church, so we can say whatever we want about, you know, them in here. And so, that's a joke. And so, but God says he's perfect in the way that he deals with us. And so God being our good and our loving Father, what I love about him is God also gives us some of the things that we want. Things that we want that are healthy for us. I love this story I heard from a missionary that his wife was really into these little farmhouse figurines. I don't know what the official name of them was. But anyway, so they were at home stateside and they went into the store where these things are sold and they were just way too expensive. And so they were like, forget about it, you know, but it was this thing that was in her heart that she really wanted for her home. And so they ended up going to preach somewhere and stayed at the pastor's house. And they were down in a bedroom area in the basement. And when they were getting settled in, and the pastor said, well, hey, there's some boxes over there that we're getting ready to give away and throw out. So if you guys want to go through them, you're welcome to. And they open one of the boxes, and one of the boxes is full of these farmhouse figurines that was given for free. And what I love about that is it's somebody who is in love with Jesus, is serving the Lord, and God knows the desire of her heart, even though for some it might sound like, well, that's a really silly thing. But I don't know, have anybody that you've loved, a husband or a wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or a child, have you ever seen them eye something in a store and yet not vocalize what they want? If you are an observant man, which I encourage you to be, then you'd go, oh, snap, that's an opportunity, you know, because then she's like, I'm going to go look. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go look over here too, you know, and then after a few minutes, you turn back around and you go and sneak it. One time I did that, I actually was able to buy it, get out of the store, get it in the car hidden, and get back in the store without her knowing I ever left. So thankfully, I'm sneaky for Jesus, or else I could be in trouble. But I feel like that's part of a reflection of the heart of God. Because there are things that maybe we want that are not for our good. And there are things that my children want sometimes. And I'm like, you don't need that. But sometimes there's things that just because of the overflow of my love, I want to bless them with something that maybe they never would have been able to get or never would have chosen to get on their own. And yet God does that for us as well. I just love that idea of God and wanted to bring that up for a moment. But as we're moving into talking about these needs, I want to bring our attention to Philippians 4:19 for a moment. Philippians 4:19. Here's what it says. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And my God will meet, other translations say supply. My God will supply all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And we'll come back to the second part of that in a minute. But I just said that idea that I and my God will supply all of your needs. We've talked about this idea of common grace before, maybe not in here, but at the prayer service on Wednesday night. Common grace is this idea that Scripture tells us that the sun rises on the godly and the ungodly, that it rains on the godly and the ungodly. So every single day, all of humanity that wakes up and takes breath into their lungs are recipients of the common grace of God on people. The fact that anybody, and especially anybody apart from Jesus, can have laughter in their life and an amount of joy in their life is the common grace of God on humanity. Because I'm telling you what, the devil is not about your joy. Your enemy and sin and the destructive part of you is not about your joy. It's not about your laughter. And the fact that any of us get to experience anything good is the common grace of God on us. But for those that are followers of Jesus, and the Bible actually says that the children of God are the ones that follow Jesus, God exercises this uncommon grace on us. It's something that not everybody gets to experience. And that's really what I've been asking God to help me convey today in this idea of our needs is because in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Jesus Christ, it is this uncommon grace that comes on us that say, I'm laying my life down and I'm following you, Jesus, and he's become the savior of our lives and he's filled us with his Holy Spirit, that now we have these promises, we have these assurances that God will meet, that God will supply our every need, that not all of the world gets to be recipients of that promise. And there is a peace and a freedom and a joy that comes along with this idea that even sometimes when you feel like your needs aren't being met, if you are a follower of Jesus and you've planted your feet in him, and maybe even sometimes you look around, you're like, I don't feel like my needs are met, what you have to be able to say, because he's not a liar, is God, you are supplying all of my need today. Even if I can't see it, God, you promised you will supply all of my need in Jesus. And so, this idea of uncommon grace that we get to be a part of. As we look at this idea of needs, I want to draw our attention to this man named Maslow. There is this hierarchy of needs that he created, and maybe you've heard about it before, or you saw it in school at some point. But he developed this hierarchy of needs. I want us to take a look at it real quick. It's this triangle. I know I'm skipping around on your team. Thank you. And so here's how this, I believe that he called himself an atheist. This atheist psychologist talked about our needs. And he builds this hierarchy. And here's basically what he says. At the very bottom of it is your physiological needs, which is eating, drinking, sleeping, and breathing. you have to have those things to survive. They are the basest need of humanity. And then he goes on to say, well, then it's safety, it's shelter, it's security. And then once that's met, we go on to love and belonging and relationship and community. And then after that, esteem. And really the idea there is discovering who we are, who I am as a person and my personality, and learning to be okay and be comfortable and work within the person that God made me. And then the last one, self-actualization, is a word that you probably use every day, and I do as well. I'm kidding. Say it. Let's say it together. Self-actualization. Ready? Go. The idea about that is, what am I meant for? What am I supposed to be doing uniquely as me in the way that God made me? I want us to take a look at this short video clip that will actually kind of break down what Maslow's trying to explain, and then I'm going to take you into the truth of God's word and kind of debunk a little bit of what Maslow believes, but also show where some of the things that he states he got right. So take a look.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a theory in psychology. It argues that there are five stages of human needs that motivate our behavior. Abraham Maslow proposed his theory in 1943 after studying what he called exemplary people, such as Albert Einstein or Eleanor Roosevelt. First, there are physiological needs, such as the need to breathe, eat, drink, or sleep. The moment we get enough of that and we feel awake and our bellies are full, we get motivated by the next thing. Now we want safety. We try to earn money, build up resources, and look for shelter that protects us against dangers. Once we are satisfied and feel safe, we have time to think about what we want next. At stage 3, we seek love and belonging. We desire to be close to family and friends, belong to a society, or join a gang. But the moment we feel completely part of a group, we already wish to be a little different than the rest. At stage 4, we look for esteem, self-confidence, and respect from our peers. We want to be someone. If we have money, we buy a fancy watch. If we have a brain, we write or think or work a lot. Motivation to perform and compete is now at its highest. Students, sportsmen, and inventors excel. Neil Armstrong even flew to the moon. Only if we breathe and drink and eat and sleep enough and we feel safe and part of a group and still special, only then can we reach level 5, self-actualization. Now we can relax, be creative, accept facts for what they are, give back or do whatever we want. No more pressure, unless of course there is trouble below. If you are a leader and believe in the theory, use it. First, make sure everyone has eaten well. Then, make them feel safe and help them belong to a group. Once they feel they belong, they are ready to stand out and excel.
I love how it nonchalantly is like, and join a gang. I'm just going to believe that maybe in the part of the world the video was produced, that just means like be a part of a friend group. But it did look like he drew the mafia, so I don't really know. You know, hey, you reached a point, now you can join a gang. You're welcome. The thing about Maslow's hierarchy is what he's saying, in essence of a hierarchy as well, is that you have to attain one level before you can even think about the next level. And I think that there are some parts of that that are true, but here's really what I want to draw your attention to, one simple truth today. When we're absorbed with need, we are not available for meaning. When we are absorbed with need, we are not available for meaning. When we're absorbed with need, we're not available for meaning. And that's really what Maslow's saying, is you can't even think about your meaning until you've taken care of all of these other needs. But I don't think that that is biblical in a sense. Because with God being concerned about our needs, and that's part of what we're talking about today, and having to identify why is God concerned about our needs, because doesn't worrying about our needs just make everything about us? And that's exactly the truth. Because when we're so focused on our needs, we are so focused on us. And even in the promise that God's given us in Philippians 4 of him supplying our need is able to break us out of this idea that I need to focus on attaining each of my needs before I can even think about why I'm existing or think about other people, is that if we can step outside of that and trust that God is supplying my needs, I'm not bound to this hierarchy of pursuing these things. And so here's God has given us these promises that as we trust and we follow him, he'll carry the weight of the things that he's supposed to worry about so that we can carry out the things he's given us to do. The interesting thing about God is that God exists in this total creative love and joy and working because he doesn't have any need whatsoever. He doesn't have any need whatsoever, so God is free to live. And what I feel like and what I'm trying to say is that Maslow's saying you're bound to this triangle. You're bound to these needs. And once you reach the top, you can kind of get unbound a little bit. But what I'm saying is God wants us to tap into his nature of him understanding he has no need. And yet he's saying, me who has no need that can meet every need is supplying your need so you don't have to be trapped within this triangle of trying to attain all your needs. And so when we're talking about Maslow and this hierarchy, here's what we're wanting to bring out, is that all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. And there are people that spend their lives trying to understand the stars and understand the human body and understand the human mind. And I think that we'd be foolish to call them all fools. Because when somebody dedicates their life to a work, they're able to make observations, but the truth is they only have half truth. Apart from Jesus, apart from an understanding of how he created things, they only have half truth. And what we're saying is that Maslow took time to identify needs that are present in humans. We do have to eat and drink and sleep and breathe. We do seek out a form of security. We do seek out relationship with other people. We do want to understand how God has made us, and then we want to understand what God has for us to do. Are these all true things? Yes, but when we talk about the truth of God's word, that's what we want to do in the next few weeks, is look at each of these needs, but show how God is meeting each of these needs himself. And so one of the myths I want to kind of break with Maslow's theory too is because if he says, okay, you've taking care of your base needs, then you got security, then you can start thinking about other people. We talked about this morning with some of our leaders, is that his idea is you can't start thinking about other people until you've met all of these things for yourself. But that's one of the first broken things within his hierarchy, because scripture tells us that we're not only to look to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. And we can't live under this myth that once I take care of all my things, then I can start thinking about you. But that in essence, there are times God calls us to serve other people, even when we might feel like we have a need. And God does this incredible thing that as we begin to meet the needs and look to the interests of others, God will come through and meet some of those needs as well. And so that's kind of one of the first things I want to break with Maslow's triangle. The second thing I want to look at is the foundation of his theory. Physiological, breathing, food, water, and sleep. I think that Maslow has to go a layer deeper. Or maybe even what it rests on, the base of what it rests on. It needs a different foundation. Because here's what Philippians 4:19 says, if we go back and look at it. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, I supply your needs in Jesus. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, when the enemy, when Satan was tempting him, he said, listen, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because Jesus was in the desert. He'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights as God was speaking to him and leading him. And the enemy comes and says, well, why don't you turn those stones into bread and eat? And he let him know, listen, I might be hungry right now, but that's not what my life is based on. My life is based on the word of God before even that basest need for food. And we have to approach the needs of humanity with the understanding that we can attain all things, and yet apart from Jesus, we have nothing. Here's a simple equation, and you may have seen it before. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And you may be out there saying, well, yeah, but you still have to eat. Like, if you don't eat, you're going to die. But here's what I'm saying is bigger than this. Because if Jesus plus nothing equals everything, then you can starve me, but I'm still going to be full. You can take all water from me, but the scripture says that when I believe in Jesus, he creates this spring of life-giving water on the inside of me that satisfies me and can satisfy the people around me. You can cut off my breathing, but I will only live all the more. You can deprive me of sleep, but everything will still be well with my soul. You can take away my security, but my God, scripture tells me, is a strong tower that I can run to and hide. It says that he can shelter me in the wings of the Almighty. That everybody can leave me, but scripture tells me that God will never forsake me and never leave me. And so our basest need is not eating, drinking, sleeping, breathing. Our basis need is Jesus. And the supply of God comes through Jesus. No Jesus, no God. No God, no riches. No riches, no supply. No supply, all you have is need. The way to the supply of our needs is through Jesus. And if you're living apart from Jesus today, you have a great need. And my prayer is that you feel it from the center of who you are today, that something's not right, that the pieces aren't fitting together, and that there's something missing. And that person is Jesus. The second thing I want to talk about today, other than the foundation, is the pursuit. In Maslow's model, the pursuit is the need itself. But we're not meant to chase need. We're meant to pursue Jesus. We're not meant to spend our lives chasing after all of these needs. We're meant to spend our life pursuing Jesus. And again, it's this idea, well, are you saying that, like, I'm just supposed to pray and, like, read my Bible all the time? Like, is it not okay for me to buy a car or for me to work a job or for me to eat? That's not what I'm saying at all. It's kind of like this idea of waiting on the Lord. When I was getting ready to graduate from the school at Chapel Hill, and I was trying to sense what God had for me next, there were people that would ask me, well, like, what are you doing? You know, do you have a job yet? And I would say, no, I'm really just waiting on God. And what I felt like that came across sometimes was I'm not doing anything. But waiting on God, even if it's in a passive sense, like a literal sitting, waiting, listening, is active. What it meant to me when they said, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to work? Where are you going to go? And I said, I'm waiting on God. What that meant to me is I'm doing everything that God has called me to do today. That I'm being faithful. I'm trying to be faithful with every moment. I'm pursuing and learning more about who God is. I'm letting him change me on the inside. And when there's work to do, I'm working hard at it. And so maybe if you're in college and you're waiting on God, what that means is that you're going to class. What it means is that you are leaning into when the teachers are speaking. It means you're being diligent with your schoolwork. It means if you're working a job, you're showing up every day and you're giving your all. And you might be in a place where you feel like you're waiting on God, but that waiting is active. And so in the same sense of not chasing needs, it doesn't mean that we don't have to go to work. It doesn't mean that I don't need to get up and boil some water and make oatmeal for my kids. But what I'm saying is my life is not absorbed in chasing these needs. My life and everything that I am and everything that I'm about, first and foremost, is pursuing Jesus. Who is he? Who am I in relation to him? What does he want for me today? God, speak to me today. Give me life today. Be in me today. Lead me today. When I'm trying to walk my own way, lead me in your way. And guess what? I can walk out of my door and I can step on a car lot and talk to a salesman and do all these different things that we do in life. And I am pursuing Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has this thing that he starts talking about with our needs. And he says it very beautifully here. And so let's read it together in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It says this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." See, here's what he's saying. Don't chase all of these needs. And yet he is so aware of what the needs of people are. But it's a different framework. I tell you, don't worry about your life. Don't chase what you're going to eat. Don't chase what you're going to drink. Don't chase what you're going to wear. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes. Well, I mean, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the pagans, those that don't know God, run after all these things. They chase, they spend their lives chasing all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's the key. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's really the place that we started. My God will supply all your need in Christ Jesus. That Jesus is speaking here, telling us that when you put your faith and your trust in God, you stop chasing all these different things. You pursue him, and he brings these things. He'll show you where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, and he brings these things into you. I used to tell young people, it's kind of like this. You have this trajectory in life. And maybe over here, you know, I've got the college that I'm supposed to go to. And over here, I've got the job I'm supposed to work. And over here, I've got the person that I want to marry. And all of these things. And what the world tends to do is they point their direction in all these things and pursue all these different things. But what God is saying, that if you'll put him at the forefront, and I don't know, I've been asking God, I'm like, God, give me the clearest way to say this. And I don't know that I even found it yet. And so I'm hoping that he's speaking beyond what I can even speak. And what he's saying is that there are people in here today that you have yet, and maybe you even call on Jesus, but you've yet to really put him at the forefront, to wake up and know that today I'm not pursuing this thing. Yes, maybe I've got this thing I got to take care of. I'm not pursuing this thing. Yes, I may need to take care of this thing, but it's not the pursuit of my life. today, God, for the 24 hours you've given me, in everything that I've got going on today, I'm coming after you. And if I end this day not knowing you any differently, not knowing you any better, not feeling any closer to you, not having walked in your ways, I'm not okay with that. And so what he's saying is, don't run after all these things, but keep your eyes set on me and follow me, and I'll speak to you and show you what to do, and I'll bring these things along at the time they're supposed to be there. Stop worrying so much about all of them. So all of our needs, even our base needs, breath, food, sleep, and water, is not met by first pursuing them. It's not the purpose of our life, but pursuing Jesus. I want to go right back to where we began as we close. One verse earlier than Philippians 4:19, where it said, "My God will supply all your needs." Here's what the Apostle Paul says, Philippians 4:18. "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you." So they sent some gifts to Paul. He says it's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that's pleasing to God. Paul spent most of his life, much of his life, in chains, being persecuted and threatened and beaten. In Scripture, he gives us this outline of how he knows what it means to be clothed and naked and hurting and cold and warm and comfortable, and all these different things that he walked through, and that he's been shipwrecked and beaten. And yet, he can say, "I have all and abound. I am full." And I'm guaranteeing you there are things that Paul was not enjoying, that he may have called his needs, but he understood, because then he flows into writing, "My God will supply all your needs," because he knows God supplies all his needs according to Jesus. And so my prayer for today is that if you're in here and you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, you haven't set him as the primary pursuit of your life, that you'd make that decision today, that you'd understand before any other need that you have, he's the greatest need of all for you. And my second thing is that if you're a follower of Jesus in here today, you can live each day with that understanding that even when it doesn't always seem like it, you can declare that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Jesus. And you can break free from this feeling of needing to chase needs, but rest in what God is providing. Would you pray with me today? If you're in here today and you're saying, "I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. I want to give him all that I am today. I want to begin something new. I feel inside of me this need that hasn't been met yet. I've tried to meet it and I haven't been able to." I'm here to tell you today that need is Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you in here today, would you just lift your hand? So I know who I'm praying with. Amen. Amen. You just say something like this. Say, "Jesus, I believe that you died for me to pay for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead on the third day and you offer me life. And today I'm saying I want you to have my life. I want to follow you. Begin to lead me. Make me new. I'm trusting you with every need that I have." And Lord, I pray for everyone else in this room today. I'm just asking that if there's anything that we're chasing outside of you, that you'd show us today. that we can pursue you above all else and trust that the things that concern us, you know about them. And your promise is that you will supply our every need. And in that we can rest. And I feel like God's just saying to someone today, he's just saying it very clearly, I'm supplying your need. I'm supplying your need. That thing you're worried about, you've been running, you've been chasing because you're worried about it. I want you to know today, I'm thinking about it. I'm paying attention to it. I know what worries you. I know your needs before you know them. And I want you to rest today. Because that thing wants to keep you away from me. It wants to steal your attention. And what I'm telling you today is fix your eyes on me. Know me, and I will take care of your every need. In Jesus' name.